We'd like to take a moment to talk about Jane, one of our sponsors who helped make this episode possible. Jane is a practice management software built for every kind of mental health practitioner and is thoughtfully designed with your clients in mind. Jane makes it convenient to meet with individuals, couples, or families, whether that's online, via Jane's telehealth options, or in person.
From day one, you can expect unlimited customer support through onboarding that sets you up for success and a 99.99% software reliability that ensures that Jane is always ready to start the day with you.
Just as you are always learning and improving, Jane is too. The team at Jane values customer feedback and uses it to design even more helpful features. So you can think of Jane as a software that grows with you.
If you're curious to see Jane in action, head to jane.app/mentalhealth/US to book a free one-on-one demo. You can also mention the code DCPOD at sign up for a 2-month free grace period on your new Jane account. Hey everyone, you are listening to the Divergent Conversations podcast. We are two neurodivergent mental health professionals in a neurotypical world. I'm Patrick Cassell.
And I'm Dr. Neff.
And during these episodes, we do talk about sensitive subjects, mental health, and there are some conversations that can certainly feel a bit overwhelming. So we do just want to use that disclosure and disclaimer before jumping in. And thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Patrick from Divergent Conversations. Megan, Anna, and I are embarking upon our seasonal break. It has been a long year for both of us, as it has for all of you. We've decided to take our end of the year break a little bit early and re-release some of our favorite episodes from 2025. We really appreciate all of your support. We appreciate all of you who listen, download, share, and continuously send us feedback. We really appreciate our sponsors, Landmark College and Jane App for Healthcare. You two have been in our corners basically the entire year. We will see you on the other side. We hope everyone has a healthy, safe, happy new year.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Divergent Conversations. We are getting ready to release a new collection that we are going to do an entire autistic burnout collection. And pretty exciting because we just did a collection on not your typical wellness. And I feel like I am already in burnout. So this is a really fascinating time to start this series.
Patrick, have you ever left burnout?
I don't think so. I mean,
is your life just a perpetual?
Yeah. I mean, my life does feel like perpetual burnout. Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm.
I realize I'm just diving right into the deep end, and this is not how we talked about sketching out, which is just how we do. But you've also talked, like in our last series, and I appreciated your honesty around this. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you talked about also being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how do you tease out when you're depressed versus when you're in burnout? Or does that distinction even matter to you?
We are diving really right in, right away. Love it. I think we're going to give a little quick synopsis definition of what autistic burnout is. But, you know, let's circumnavigate that. We do have episodes, full episodes, number 2 and number 47, where we have done deep, extensive dives on what autistic burnout is. And we are going to link those in the show notes for every single episode of this series. Okay. Anyway.
Wow. Look at that social ligamenting that you just did. Like,
and I'm so tired.
Popped out to be like,
that.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Which is probably why I'm always in burnout, if I'm being honest. Like, how naturally that stuff comes to me in a lot of senses. And I think that keeps me stuck here.
Because you had an itchy thought like, no, we've got to define autistic burnout before we dive into kind of emotional conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's part of the hypervigilance load that you carry.
Yeah. Which feels pretty consistent. Okay. How am I differentiating between whether I know that I'm in burnout or that I'm depressed? Whew. As someone who really resonates with a major depressive disorder diagnosis, or maybe at least lymphemia. It's like lymphemia. Can never say that word correctly. Like chronic underlying depression at all times. It's hard to tease out. It is really hard to tease out at times. But I think for me, when I'm thinking more about autistic burnout, I'm thinking about how impacted all parts of me are, not just my mental state. And I think a lot of that can feel like unbelievable sensory overwhelm, irritability, frustration tolerance, lack of special interests or participation in them, my desire to socialize and desire to withdraw. But that can feel like, ooh, which one is this in that situation? I really start to think about the sensory component. Like I really start to think about how I feel, like I've talked about this before, that exposed nerve ending, moving through the world, being shocked all the time, that feels constant. And it's just like every little thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was noticing this yesterday when I was laying on my couch, I wasn't feeling well. I had like a sore throat, low grade feverish. And of course, I'm like, of course I'm sick again, right? And I was like answering an email and I was like, oh, that is really irritating me right now. The having to respond to this thing, having to open that extra tab, having to do that, like open my computer again. I'm like noticing the frustration building. And it's always a good indication for me that I'm like, well, either on the way or I'm like already firmly there and just never realized it until it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So there's like the gradual, your experience of it is like, there's the kind of gradual build, the frustration, which I definitely relate to, like tasks just start feeling like molasses. Mm-hmm. And then it hits like a ton of bricks. Is that when it's like collapse on the couch for you type thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's almost where I want to take my phone and like throw it across the room because I'm so overwhelmed and I start to have like more sensory meltdowns and shutdowns. And they start to intensify.
Yep.
And things that would not typically, you know, lead to one, everything starts to lead to sensory meltdown and then therefore sensory shutdown. And then I'm just in it and I can't get out of it.
Like, perpetual sensory hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Perpetual sensory hell. Yeah.
Burnout. Like I'm thinking of like if burnout was a city and it's like, welcome to burnout. Welcome to perpetual sensory hell. Oh my gosh. Wait, yeah. That would be a fun activity. Like burnout the city and then to like design it. Like,
oh my God. And I also have the thought of like, man, we really need our merch lineup because that is such a good t-shirt. Like it's such a good, I would wear it.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to burnout, perpetual sensory hell. Oh.
We need a clever name for our burnout city too. Like, burnout something. And then like, yeah, that would be the tagline. And then what would the restaurants be in our burnout city?
For me, it would be like Applebee's. It would just be Applebee's. Like you would have no other options and people would be coming through singing. Have you ever stepped foot in one when they're like singing happy birthday? Yeah, it would just be that on like a loop. And all you can eat is like those sizzling, disgusting steak platters that come out scalding hot and they're like smoking in your face. And you set it down in front of you and it just burns you immediately. But then the smoke is hitting you in the face and it just tastes horrible. Like
all the clothes are made of wool, scratchy wool.
Yep. Yep. And
you can't get any clothes.
Like your socks are like irritating your toes the entire time. The temperature is never right.
It's never right. And the houses, all of the houses are doing laundry and the like exhaust from the, and they're all using like fragrant, the dryer sheets that, and like, the fragrant, you know, when you walk by a house doing laundry and the exhaust, it just smells so chemically. So all the houses are always doing laundry with a terrible fragrant.
The only vehicles that exist are ambulances and fire trucks with their sirens on. And they just drive up and down the street casually, but it's like the ice cream man, but that thing is just blaring all the time.
Someone needs to like take this transcription. Okay, I'm not actually saying people should do this because controversial, but like, and turn it into an AI video. You know how they can like make videos now and turn this into a city.
Oh my God,
except I wouldn't want to watch that video because it'd be too overstimulating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like either understimulated all the time and you're just like wanting to crawl out of your skin, or you're so overstimulated that you're just curled up in a ball and you just can't get out of it.
So the understimulation, that is, yeah, because I will feel understimulated and burnout because I lose access to my curiosity when I'm in burnout, which is for me, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or if I wrote it in relation to my OCD. I talked about how this was a new insight recently. I fill my mind with ideas in order to escape my thoughts. And curiosity is how I do that. So when I lose access to curiosity, that to me becomes a trigger for depression partly. So that for me, burnout often will lead to depression.
Yeah.
But it's that understimulation of I'm understimulated, but nothing sounds good. Like reading a book, doing a creative project because I don't have energy for it. And so it's also different than, because this becomes an important distinction, anhedonia, I'm probably mispronouncing it, but like the loss of pleasure, which is part of depression. There's that, but then in burnout, for me, it's I just don't have energy.
Right.
And that feels different.
It does feel different. And because you and I are both ADHD, I feel like I'm always in that space where the ADHD side is so understimulated in these moments where it's like I need something to feel creative or to feel stimulated, but I don't have the energy. I don't have capacity. Mm-hmm. So you're almost wrestling with yourself in that way.
And that's what in my past life, when I struggled more in my relationship to alcohol, that's when I was most vulnerable to go to alcohol. Cause it's like, well, this is going to be like kind of some passive dopamine while I'm doing this other thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously filling our systems with alcohol is not going to support burnout recovery.
Right.
But I think it makes sense that I think a lot of us do that for that stimulation, especially if we're ADHD.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So it's so fitting that we go from wellness to burnout, and I'm in it. Like I can feel it intensely. And I realize like it's only June 12th right now. And I have so much left to do this year.
And this is, I don't know if you're like me, but like in my head, I'm like, it's June. This is supposed to be the best energetic months because it's summer and it's sunny. And for me, I'm very sensitive to that. Is that true for you, or is summer usually actually your better months?
Yeah. I mean, energetically for sure. I always feel myself like slowing and shutting down once like middle of October comes into like March-ish. But, you know, I was having this thought and association the other day about how it is June, how it's like, quote unquote, nicer weather outside. There's more sun. And because I'm so sensitive to temperature and heat, it's so hard for me to be like excited about that while a lot of other people around me are like gearing up for spending significantly more time outside. And I'm like constantly trying to seek shade or ventilation or like, how can I regulate my temperature at all times in order to like participate in this part of life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I've heard a lot of other folks talk about that too, because I think I might be making this up, but I don't think I am, but I don't know the academic research to cite. I think one thing I've read about ADHD is that we can be more sensitive to kind of like circadian rhythm shifts. And so the sun, so I think for a lot of us, sometimes we do feel more energy with the sun. But then there's, again, especially if we're ADHD, there's regulating our environment. If we're outside, there's bugs, there's the brightness of the sun, there's the temperature regulation. So even if we are in bodies that perhaps benefit from more sunlight, then that's also something that we have to navigate of like, how do we do that in a way that feels okay?
Mm-hmm. You know, so we're both wearing black right now too.
Well, I'm always wearing black. You're just copying me.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
It's real dark in my office because it's like later in the day here. But I think that's a part of it too, right? Like how much cognitive energy has to go into that constant hypervigilance of like everything has to be just right at all times for our sensory systems, and how often I can feel so depleted from having to navigate that in like most areas of my life at all times.
Yeah.
So I want to flip the script a little bit. You asked me about this. You just got back from a trip. I imagine for you, you're also feeling worn down to some degree. Are you feeling like you're in burnout at the moment, or do you feel like, I feel like I'm kind of at a good place?
So my reference point was like forever shifted after last fall. So, I mean, I've talked about this on the podcast. I got COVID in 2020. I was like quite sick for 9 months, developed asthma as part of it. And then every time I've gotten COVID, which, it like just takes me out for 4 to 6 months. And then it's also like, well, what do I call that? Do I call that autistic burnout? Do I call that long COVID? Do I call it chronic fatigue syndrome? Like, and that's where it's helpful to have names for things. And then also it's like these cluster together in ways that are complex. So my reference point being the fall, which was when I was really struggling to do what I'm doing now, which is sitting upright. Like I was on the couch being, I always confuse horizontal and vertical. I was being horizontal, like pretty much all day. On a good day, I could get myself to work 3 hours.
Right.
Compared to that, I feel much, much better. I'm back to being able to work full days. I'm still mostly, and that's probably because of some health things, I still mostly do it vertically, but I'm able to like go outside in the sun and do it. So that's my reference point. So compared to that reference point, I'm feeling much better than I was. And I also am very much aware, and we've also talked about this a bit on the podcast, but this year started with that website migration that went terribly, horribly wrong. And I've been in fight, flight energy that tipped into pretty intense energy in the spring. And so I'm also very aware that my nervous system has been in a stress state for many months. And so I'm kind of terrified of the fall, or I'm terrified about when I get sick again, because, and I don't want to like make it a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I'm imagining a pretty intense crash might be coming.
Yeah. And you kind of talked about that in the wellness series of like this fear of when is this energy going to go away, or when am I going to really struggle again, and how scary that is.
And the intensity of that, because when we were recording, I was in the intensity of that, like that has shifted down, which is really good because I was struggling to sleep. It was so intense. And that has shifted, and it didn't shift into a depression, which I was a bit worried on. And so it has shifted back into like, I don't know that it's a, I don't think I have a baseline, but to what feels like would be a healthy baseline if I had one. And I'm still like dealing with business stress, and I'm curious as that wraps up, like what my body will do. But right now I'm appreciating the sun. I'm appreciating that my body is managing to get a little bit of sleep, and I'm feeling, for me, pretty resilient. But again, that's a huge caveat of like what for me is resilient.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad for you for that reason, for sure. Cause I remember recording last year in the fall when you were like, I'm just going to lay down on my couch and turn my video off, cause I can't like do this right now. And you were really struggling for sure. And physically and mentally in that time.
And I couldn't put words into sentences were so hard for me. And we actually have, so we have a family gathering. So once a year we gather with my spouse's family. And that's actually, as far as I can tell, that's where I got COVID last year. So I'm actually going into next week, like really scared. And I have traveled. I traveled to Belize, but it's just, I'm so scared of getting COVID because that's the thing that for me takes me completely out. And I do what I can to be cautious, and you only have so much control.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. About the last time I felt good for like any stretch of time, so much has happened, over the last couple of years, but like Well, I was like looking at the hurricane here ever since then, because I was already in burnout going into that. So coming out of it has been so challenging because life doesn't stop. You know, like I've done a better job, like we talked about in some of our episodes, of setting better boundaries in my life and all of the things, and like even announcing a big pivot in my career a couple weeks ago. But like, I haven't been able to get out of it. I haven't been able to like dig myself out of it. And sometimes I do think I need like a month of just complete solitude and isolation from all things. And that also is horrifying to me.
You've talked about that. You've talked about kind of wanting to like go underground for a period, which I actually really love for you, Patrick, because I think, and you've talked about that, how it's so hard to not respond to notifications, and it's so hard to like fully get off. And we're, so what, one thing that's been in the back of my head as we're talking about our levels of burnout is we are both writing a book in this next year, which is a really freaking heavy lift. And I'm also feeling that as I'm like anticipating this year, I'm like, oh my gosh, have I budgeted enough time for this? And where was I going with this? Oh, I think the thing about like, we were texting about this off, well, not recording, about how important it is to hold on to your mind when you're writing a book and to have access to your mind, and how hard that can be when we're like in the pings and the pongs, and how you're, in addition to writing a book, thinking about career shifts. And I am so excited for you, if you actually make this happen, for you to have a season of going dormant. And like the image that keeps coming to my head is like roots and soil and ground, and then like coming back from that with something that feels really deeply rooted, that feels new, that feels so aligned for you. Because I think the tension I've felt as we've been recording, there's something that hasn't felt aligned for you. And I, would you say that's part of your burnout even, is like friction around that, of the way your work, I don't know, alignment, work, burnout, these words are associated in my head. Do they make any connection for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think since the day we met, you know, I've been doing work that I haven't always truly loved. And I think that that has intensified over time, you know, like just the career that I've had over the last couple of years has required a lot of me to be like a presence and a face and like a person who's involved in a lot of things. And it just doesn't feel aligned to me. And then once the passion went away, it really didn't feel, it felt very misaligned. And then like obviously continuing to show up in those spaces or in that environment because capitalism and needing to make money. And it's just like that just almost amplifies everything too, of like being in a space where you just don't feel content or passion filled or excited. And then that becomes a situation where you start to try to like split hairs of like, is this burnout? Is this depression? Is this burnout? Is this depression? And that kind of vacillates like back and forth.
Or is it misalignment, right? Is it value misalignment? And is it that there's something in my life that like would benefit from adjusting? That this is, and that goes back to the idea of like emotions are signals, right? Emotions aren't good or bad, they're signals. So also, and sometimes burnout can be signals of like, is this signaling a need for some sort of life trajectory shift?
Yep, which is horrifying in a lot of ways. But
because that's change.
Yeah, which
is our favorite.
Change, routine disruption, like all of the things that we really love, sarcasm. And I think I said to you offline, like, I feel like there's a part of me that has placed myself in this situation purposefully. Like I have run myself down by doing all of these things over the last 4 or 5 years so that I can take a step back and like actually rest and actually breathe. And like, I don't have to work so hard right now because I have set myself up in that space from the retreats and the podcasts and some other stuff that I've done.
So yeah, I'm curious what you mean by that, because my brain goes to two places. One is like, you've done that to financially set yourself up. So that you could take a break, which would make sense. Or do you mean it, because I also relate to this, where it's like you are so burned out, you literally can't, so you have no other option but to take a step back.
That part.
The second one?
They're both true. Yeah. Now, yeah, this is a both and again.
No, but I'm the same way. I need my body to say hell no.
Exactly.
For me to actually take a step back.
Yep.
Which is what happened last fall for me.
Yeah. And I, you know, since we've known each other, both of us get sick fairly often. And I've just noticed the increasing likelihood that I'm getting sick more and more and more and more. I'm more and more fatigued all the time. And like you said, it could be chronic fatigue syndrome. It could be this, it could be this. But in reality, it's a culmination. And I think for me, that culmination has led to such an intense period of autistic burnout that my body is like, hell no. Like there's no gas in the tank whatsoever. Like we're beyond empty. It's like when you're driving, when you're a teenager and your gas tank is definitely empty, but you're like, I can go 30 more miles. And like that, I'm way beyond that. Like that barometer is gone. So
that's part of our city is every time you go to a gas station to fill up, it's like it gives you an inch just enough so that you're like at your gas tank still is registered as empty, but it's at the top of empty. And that's all you can ever get at a gas station when you go to a gas station in our burnout city.
Or you show up to the gas station and you're on empty and the gas tank says, or the gas thing says out of service. And then you have to drive down the road, you know.
No. You have to push your car down the road.
But it's up a hill. And like,
up a hill. Do you want to come to a retreat in our burnout city? We are selling tickets for 2027.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, this is like laughing about this and joking about this is so helpful because I know so many of you are probably listening and relating so hard to this too. Like, yeah. And oh, okay. One more thing for the city, because I just watched my dog walker out of my peripheral, like walking down the street. Is the only animals that exist in this city are my Shih Tzu named Hudson, and he just barks incessantly, nonstop. Doesn't matter how often you try to get him to be quiet, and like it just doesn't ever stops.
None of the cute, fluffy animals are there.
No. So that's it.
Just the barky ones.
Yep.
And the cats that throw up.
Yeah. Or you're finally sleeping and like, your dog decides that he needs to go outside to go to the bathroom at 3 a.m. So you have to like wake up from sleeping for the first time in like a week and let your animal out to go to the bathroom. Sometimes
what are the beds made of?
Oh, people will laugh at this if you've come to my Ireland retreat, but some of you have said that you would rather sleep on the ground than sleep in the beds at the cottages that existed there. So maybe something like that feels like plywood, basically. I don't know. No mattress, no box spring. But it's like one of those pillows that you get at a hotel that is way too soft and it's like lumpy and like you keep trying to like put it behind your head somehow and like you're squeezing it in half to give yourself support and you just cannot get comfortable.
And then in the middle of the city is like an accommodations center. Mm-hmm. But to get accommodations, you have to wait in line for 6 hours in the sun and listen to like loud music and parades going by you.
Yeah.
And then by the time you finally get to the accommodation desk, they like give you like earbuds, like sleeping earbuds.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're welcome.
But they only have one. So you have to choose which ear it goes into. Or it's like the DMV where they just put the sign on the desk and they're like going to lunch and you just have to stand there for 30 more minutes.
Oh
man.
This could be a fun movie.
I think you could come up with some cool visuals for this. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Yeah. And in all seriousness, like I think this is a hard place to be. And, you know, the differentiation, you do such a wonderful job with like the Misdiagnosis Monday post and the Venn diagrams that are so useful visually for people to kind of make sense of. And the burnout component of like, is it depression? Is it autistic burnout? Is it A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I think everything we're talking about wrapped up into like this experience, you know, is what it is for me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know when I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, you said something a moment ago. I like that it's like this constellation of experiences.
Yeah.
And I think that's that when I think about and when I talk about burnout recovery, that becomes a really important part of the conversation. Is it's not like, I think sometimes partly the autistic mind, we want to be like, well, is it this or is it that? And then what's the treatment? And it's with autistic burnout, it's multi-systemic. And so it's not like there's this one treatment. It's like, well, okay, your nervous system's probably been dysregulated for a long time. You know, is your sensory system regulated? How's your sleep? How's your health? How's your, this is a hard one. And we talked about wanting to do a series on food, which I do, but also like, you know, are you eating things that are, that's causing inflammation in your body? So it's also like a, there's a lifestyle factor to it. There's just, because our systems are so vulnerable and we're moving through this world, it's a multiple system thing. And then of course, if we're having any mental health condition on top of that or medical condition on top of that, those are also some of those drivers for burnout.
Yep.
And that so feels it's,
like that. Intensifies too when that's happening, right? Like, and I noticed that too. I should have mentioned that, like, my chronic pain has gone up pretty drastically over the last month or two. And I can tell, like, that's all tied in as well. So when I'm starting to experience more and more acuity and intensity, I'm like, I'm probably there.
So that, and that is, well, first of all, just, I'm sorry, as someone who also lives with chronic pain, like, chronic pain flares are often the first domino for so many things for me. And I know for a lot of us. That knowing like what the triggering event is, I think that's part of, so I talk a bit about, you know, burnout recovery and like building a life more resilient to burnout. I think knowing what our triggers are is a big important piece of that. For me too, it's chronic pain becomes a trigger because when my pain is flaring, I'm moving less. My sleep is also worse. Yeah. I'm more prone to seek comfort through foods that I know cause inflammation in my body, that cause stomach pain in my body. Yep. And so those triggering events and then knowing what they are, because it's like, okay, and I see you, I see your chronic pain. I see the behaviors that want to follow when I'm in that cycle. And then I see what it creates. And it takes me like walking through that cycle 20 times, right? Before I'm like, okay, maybe I'll try something different here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spot on. Spot on. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, if you make a post or two about burnout on social media, for example, and you'll get comments of like, isn't that just everyone's experience of life? Like, doesn't everyone just experience burnout because we live in capitalism and the world is on fire and like all of the
things. And we do. Like, all humans probably in modern society are experiencing some level of burnout. And it's not the same. It's not the same as autistic burnout.
And that's the big differentiating factor of like, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think about it more like kind of socially, like when an autistic person says I'm in burnout, what they mean tends to be really different. Like, I'm struggling to feed myself. I'm struggling to put words into sentences, like something that for someone else when they're in burnout doesn't seem like a heavy lift, for us does.
Yeah. And I'm glad you named that. That's kind of what I wanted to get at, is that it's very different. I mean, I think we're all probably in some stage of burnout in this world right now.
We live in a dehumanizing world that's like not supportive of our systems or our minds or our connections. Like everything we talked about in the wellness series, we live in an anti-nourishing systems and worlds. Yeah. And so all humans are struggling, which is again, that's where, with any conversation, it can be like us versus them, like autistic burnout and we're struggling, but neurotypicals are fine. It's like, no, all humans are struggling. We're like the whole canaries in the coal mine thing. Like, I think we have a more exaggerated response often, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for breaking that down. Cause I think that's just an important point to make, you know, like everyone's struggling. I can't imagine I know a single human who's not experiencing some semblance of burnout. And it's just really not the same. And the longevity of it too is so different. And it's hard to differentiate though, y'all. Like, I mean, life is hard. Life is really freaking hard.
There's another tagline. Life is really freaking hard.
I'm glad this has been an uplifting episode, and those are always our favorite.
And with your voice, it's just, those are always our favorite.
Yeah, I'm not in like Eeyore mode though, like last time, you know, like in the grief episode situation, I was super depressed. But I'm not in that mode right now. I'm just, yeah, I think my cadence is just low right now. I'm burnt out.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, you've had a lot happening, and you've been traveling a lot, and you've been absorbing a lot of negative energy in the world and are pretty impacted by that. So I think of you as like a pretty hypervigilant person as at baseline. And then, hi, 2025.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I did have a thought. It was when you're talking about the being on the couch and wanting to throw your phone. Okay. This is a totally divergent thought. I thought about how you've talked about OCD a bit and some of the ways some of your compulsions show up is like you can't have any notifications on your phone. And I was thinking about the OCD burnout connection, because our some of the compulsions we do can be really energy exhausting.
Yeah.
And then burnout, like we're exhausted. What does some of the OCD stuff look like for you in burnout? Like, because also when I'm not sleeping, my OCD gets worse. But then, yeah. So it's just, it was one of the first times my brain went to think about the OCD burnout connection. Does that...
No, I mean, it definitely relates. And yeah, I'm just trying to think of examples.
Compulsions. But can you let, because you are so like, okay, my inbox has to be zero, notifications have to be zero. Do you let any of that go when you're in burnout, or does it?
I do. Yeah. I am so much less responsive. And that's another indication for me of like, because there is still that compulsive need to check, respond, delete, clear all the things. But I'm just like, I don't have the energy or the capacity to even care about how much agony this is causing me mentally by not being able to do these things right now.
But then it's causing, I would assume it's causing stress to see that.
Yeah.
And what about like showers? Like, I know you often will do like 3 showers a day or laundry.
I mean, that never changes. Like, I am a baseline 2-shower-a-day human. So it's just, you know, I definitely have a compulsive need to constantly be washing my hands, and like, I probably put way too much hand sanitizer on at all times, but like, I haven't noticed an increase in any of that. I don't know. I haven't noticed, and maybe I'll start paying attention more to that side of things for myself.
Yeah. I'll get pulled into more checking loops. Checking is
like
kind of
whole,
a big
like,
thing.
Stove checking situation, like did I leave the stove on?
Yeah. And it'll get worse where it's like, I'll maybe like, you know, I'll be driving down the road and I'll know, like, I'll be like, I know I turned off my hair thing or the stove, but I'll be like, I just have to go back and check. And it's right. I think it's partly because of that irritability is so much more. It's like, I just can't handle the distress of this. So even though I have a memory of turning it off, I need to go back and check.
Yeah.
So I have like less, it's almost like I have less control over my checking behavior. Like, whereas sometimes I can be like, I can self-soothe myself when I'm leaving. I'll be like, no, I do remember unplugging that. I know I want to go back and check, but I'm not going to. I don't have the same amount of patience to walk myself through that.
That makes sense. Yeah. I do have like, yeah, I do notice actually, now that you say that, like the compulsive need to check and clear things intensifies, but I don't actually do it. So the action actually decreases, which is interesting. But the need to like constantly, like I'll check my inbox, I'll check my Spruce Health like group practice account, I'll check all of the things constantly, like compulsively on loop over and over and over and over again. But I don't do anything about it. Like I can't.
I do that too. Like, because the only kind of work I really have access to is passive work. Mm-hmm. So I'm checking, but then I'm not actively working on anything. So I'm just sitting there stressing myself out.
Yep.
We're really smart, Patrick.
I'd like to think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a recommended burnout strategy. Just like passively work, checking on all the accumulating work, stressing yourself out.
Yeah. It is a lot of, it's a blast. Yeah. I don't know. I'm feeling that weird energy right now of like shifting.
Yeah, I can tell. I was like, okay, you're starting to get like antsy, like you're ready to wrap this episode up.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
How do we wrap this up? Because I know we want to, you are doing burnout in your world in NDI right now.
Yeah. So our summer theme is burnout everything. So we're doing a burnout course in the Nook, and we're doing a burnout series on social media. So we had talked about kind of loosely structuring this via my workbook, partly because then we just don't have to think about it. So our goal today for this episode was to talk about like what burnout is, what our kind of signs or triggers are, internal signs, external signs.
Yeah.
I guess if we do want to zoom out and offer some concrete things as we wrap this up, one thing I'll say, something else I also talk about a bit is one of the vulnerabilities is because of interoceptive awareness challenges or alexithymia, a lot of us don't know where we're at in the stress cycle or the burnout cycle till we've hit what you call that, like the bricks, right, which means we don't have as much space to intervene at a point where it's like, oh, okay, I could pull back here. I could implement some restorative practices. And then by the time we do know we're in burnout, we don't have much capacity to support ourselves. So that, I think that's part of the vulnerability for a lot of us. So one of the exercises that can be helpful when we're thinking about burnout is to spend some time thinking about what are my external markers? What are my internal markers? What are my triggers? So like for you, you know, chronic pain is a known trigger. For me, when I get pulled into an insomnia loop, I know that's a trigger. Or when something really stressful happens in my life, I know I get a spike of cortisol energy, typically followed by a crash. So I know that's a trigger. But for those who have interoceptive awareness challenges, really focusing on the external triggers. So maybe it is something like we've been talking about of like, I'll start doing more passive work, but not active work where I'm just like checking things, or, maybe it's relying on safe foods more. I know for me, when I'm in burnout, like give me 3 Amy's gluten-free vegetarian burritos a day and I will just eat that. And that'll be the only food I eat. So, or it's like, we'll look more autistic, like, and by autistic, I mean like the, like diagnostic criteria, like those traits that often tend to elevate during stress, like need for sameness, need for routine, socializing is going to get harder. Communication is going to get harder. So we will look more autistic when we're starting to track toward burnout. So people knowing what their external signs are, I think can be really helpful, especially if you have less access to your kind of internal signals.
Yeah. Yep. All of that. Yep. And the reason we're following your lead this month or this season is like path of least resistance, y'all. We know it's an important topic. We know so many of you are dealing with this, including ourselves. So path of least resistance in terms of like, what collection are we going to do this series?
Cause we were literally like, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah. Cause that's how we plan this podcast, is what are we going to talk about? We go back and forth about it for a while. But we hope this series collection is going to be helpful for everyone and hopefully helpful for ourselves as we move along it as well. One thing I want to also add is like, this is when we start to see a lot of people who are discovering that they're autistic later in life, is when you have hit such intense periods of autistic burnout that something has to give. Like something becomes acutely aware that like all the things I've tried, not exactly working, all the ideas that I had, potential diagnoses, et cetera, they're not lining up. Like this is when we're seeing a lot of intensification.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most, I would say for a lot of adults, this is when they get identified as autistic, when they're burnout. Yeah. And that's something I like to, when I'm doing clinical trainings, I like to teach people that, because it means the moment that they're like catching the person or interacting with them, it's not just about the autism, it's about the burnout. Right. And that's a really vulnerable time for a lot of us. Because also the masking, like we aren't able to mask in the same way when we're in burnout. So for a lot of autistic adults, it's like they're wrapping their mind around an autistic identity and they're grappling with burnout at the same time. And that's a lot for a person.
A lot. It's really heavy. It's really heavy. So y'all are not alone in this. Okay. If you're in this space, just know that. And we're going to link a ton of resources in the show notes. And like I mentioned before we started talking, really episodes 2 and 47, where we kind of deep dive like more clinical definition of autistic burnout. So reference those as well. We're not going to deep dive that in this collection. Just there's no need to reinvent the wheel. So anything else?
Okay. No, I think that's a good summary. And then I think we're going to next episode talk about kind of how to think through building a burnout recovery plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll give you some more tangible stuff in the next episode too. And hopefully you can incorporate that into your day to day.
Ooh, what if our city gets a makeover as we go through this series?
Okay. Okay. We are going to continue this burnout city. What was the tagline? I already forgot it. It was like sensory hell something.
The place, like the place for sensory hell or yeah. Pervasive chronic sensory hell. I'll have to re-listen to it. It was a good tagline.
I already forgot 45 minutes later, but yeah, we're going to continue talking about this and, you know, that's just going to help us really build this world and hopefully create a more neuro-affirming one as we go. So episodes are out on Fridays on all major platforms and YouTube, and you can like, download, subscribe, and share. And goodbye.
Hey, it's Dr. Neff here. This season, we are clearly talking about autistic burnout, a topic that NeuroDivergent Insights has covered extensively. So if you would like more resources to supplement your learning, we've put together a page where we've curated all of our autistic burnout resources, freed and paid resources. We have lots of articles on autistic burnout. We have an upcoming free email course that's going to be released soon. We have workbooks on autistic burnout. So if you'd like to check out our resources, again, both free and paid, you can go to neurodivergentinsights.com/burnout-resources. It's linked below and in the show notes. I hope you don't need these resources, but if you do, they are there for you.